You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
My good friend, Pastor Butch Bruton, Butch and Darlene both, we've just known them for years and years, and you know, we kid about being, we're real close, and yet we never do anything together. We see each other at meetings, you know, and that's about it. But these are just precious friends of ours. Butch actually has been on our board for years, our board of directors. And thank you so much for your service on our board of directors. What a blessing you've been to us. I remember when a little old bitty church over there in Caddo Mills. Remember the years ago, little storefront church. And, I mean, they have exploded and just taken by storm Caddo Mills. I mean, it's just amazing what they're doing over there. In fact, they're making some changes now. The rodeo grounds you've got and the arena there, you've moved over in that area. They host a lot of cowboy camp meetings over there with Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle and Jesse DePlantis and different ones. And just amazing what God can do. You know, there's a difference between being in a small town and having small town thinking. Are you with me? You know, we're in a small town, but we don't have small town thinking. And Butch is in a small town, but never had small town thinking. See, you may be in a small town, but we got a big God. Amen. So the sky's the limit. Anything you can believe is the limit. And there are no limits when you get down to faith and what you can do in faith. And so I have seen God move in their lives and just bless them, and I've just been so blessed to see. What an example. What an example to follow and look to. You know, when you say, well, now if you're in a big city, you can make that happen. Hey, you can make it happen anywhere. God can do anything anywhere. And, of course, Pastor Butch and Darlene has just been examples of that, and of faith, and talk about consistency. I was thinking all those things they were saying on the video. They got a television pro, Living the Good Life. And I told Butch I probably should have brought out a bale of hay or a rocking chair. He's usually in a rocking chair, feel more comfortable. We are going to bring this down here. I appreciate him wearing a tie. He said, oh, I wear one every once in a while when I do a funeral or a wedding or something, you know. But he put the tie on just for us, and I appreciate that. But I want y'all to give a warm welcome. You're going to be blessed tonight with the word, the anointing, the presence of God. Pastor Butch Bruton, give him a big hand as he comes. Hallelujah.
So many years ago, I found out that my Heavenly Father was my daddy. You know, I found out that we've lived our life afraid of the one who loves us the most, and it's time for that to stop. Amen. We always had a different understanding of Jesus and Almighty God because people would tell their children about Jesus. We'd tell them how wonderful he is and how sweet he is, and Jesus loves you, this I know, and all of this. And then when you say, well, what about God? Well, you better watch out for him. He'll get you. You know, and people didn't understand. When this Bible says he is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. He is just like him. But anyway, my life changed a few years ago. The Lord's done some things. I am a baseball fan. My team that I watch most all the time is the Texas Rangers. Okay? Now, but there's a difference between being a baseball fan and a Texas Rangers fan. If you're just a Texas Rangers fan, you will boo when Alex Rodriguez comes up to bat against the Rangers. You will boo when Albert Pujols comes up. When you're a baseball fan, you don't do that because you appreciate the game. You appreciate the players. You appreciate what they can do. I love to see them all succeed. Now, in being that, I have seen that people have positions that they play. The worst thing you can do is expect one person to play all the positions. One person to be this, one person to be that. And so a few years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart and told me he was going to change me into a position player. And that I would not be teaching everything that I had been teaching all these years. I've taught faith for 30-something years, and I still teach faith. But a few years ago, again, I told you I didn't know where I was going, so let me just share with you. You need to listen deeply in your heart to the revelations God gives you in your life. And then you need to follow those, because those are not mandates from God. They are a blessing from God to show you where your increase is in every area of life. If the Lord speaks something to your heart, take it, meditate on it, bring it up from time to time and hear what the Lord's saying. I'll give you an example. Many years ago as a pastor, I started getting up on Sunday morning whenever I was preaching, and I always wanted the Lord to be the one to say what we're going to say. That's all I care about. I don't care about talking myself. Just let him say. And I'd always say, Lord, what do you want me to tell the people today? And in here, he'd always say, tell them I love them. Yeah. I'd say, yes, sir, I'll do that. Now, what do you want me to preach today? And then I would go about getting my 7 steps to success in faith or 5 ways to overcome. But for every time I ever went to him in 20 years and said, what do you want me to tell the people? He would say, tell them I love them. It took me 20 years to realize he was giving me a subject. Because I was taught to teach faith. I was taught to teach how. I was taught to teach everything else. And I knew how. The Lord showed it to me. But I didn't know. So a few years ago when he finally got... He did it in shifts, and he will work with you in stages. You know, years ago he started telling me, he gave me this thought, God is good all the time. Our television program, we use Paul Overstreet's song, God is good all the time. It's been on that program for 20 years now, front and back. So we started talking about God is good all the time. From there we went to different things the Lord told us. And then a few years ago with some other things, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart after I finally realized, love, tell them you love them is the subject I'm supposed to teach, not just, hey, God loves you. Because God loves everybody, man. Hey, that's all right. No, God loves you. That's the key. So, you know, when he told me, from now till I come, I heard that. Now, whether that means coming to get all of us or whether I go by way of the gray. Years ago, he started telling me, he said, talk about my goodness. Talk about my goodness. And I started doing that. Everything that I did, I put his goodness in it. And then just a few years ago, he told me, he said, till I come, teach my love. I said, okay, I can do that. So it took me a while to get over that because you want to be able to teach everything. We want to be all things to all people. And you just, you know, I'm going to be a position player. I'm going to do my one inning and come in and get my $12 million and, you know, whatever. And I love that idea. I love that idea. I like that idea. But just for so many things, let me give you an example, and then I'm going to get you to share with you, because I'm not going to preach long. I'm just going to share a couple of things with you on being qualified. But I have a lovely office on Covenant Ranch. Covenant Ranch is where New Life Church is. We just moved out there a few months ago, and we're in a temporary building right now. But we've been out there for many years. We do all of our cowboy things out there and everything else. But I have a beautiful office that looks out over the arena, and it's solid glass. And so I do a lot of my praying there, a lot of my fun time just talking with the Lord. Years ago, the Lord had given me a thing. I'd been a chunky kid all my life. You know, I was overweight till I was 50-something years old. And the Lord, because I couldn't lose, I lost, you know, a couple thousand pounds. But, you know, but I always gained it back. And then a few years ago, the Lord showed me how to find my way, which was a weight loss without struggle. And so I've never struggled with it again. It's just never a problem to me. Well, I was thanking him for that one day. And I said, Lord, I'm going to tell you, you know, if you're one of those people who can eat all they want to. Now, don't get me wrong, I do now, but I grew up not doing that because I had to always try to cut back and always do this. But, you know, thin people don't understand what we're talking about. It doesn't make sense to thin people that weighs on us so much, but it always did until, you know, the Lord showed me that. So I was standing, looking out over that arena, and I said, Lord, I'm going to tell you how much I appreciate. I never used to cry. I don't know what's happening. The last 5, 6, 7 years. Anyway, I said, I'm going to tell you how much I appreciate you and how much I love you. I said, this weight thing has been so easy. I mean, I didn't do it. I didn't do anything. I just watched you do it in me. And I'm going to tell you how much I love you for it being so simple. And then again, he spoke to my heart, and I heard him. If you'd have been there, I would have thought you would have heard him. It was that loud. And he said, "Son, it's all supposed to be this way." So I started seeking some other things as to why other areas of my life of believing and doing and all these things weren't as easy as that. And then just 2-3 years ago, I was standing looking out those windows praying, and I heard him speak to my heart. I know I just turned 63. I know I look 30-something, but I am 63. And I said, "Lord, I just love you." And he said, "Son, I know you do." But he said, "Son, you're 63 years old, or you're 60 years old at that time." He said, "You're 60 years old. When are you going to stop trying to pay me back?" And, of course, my first thought was, "Lord, I didn't get it but about that far, because I knew it was not the truth. I've tried to pay him back in everything that I do. 90% of the stuff I do was to pay him back, because I owed a debt I couldn't pay." And so my praying, my reading, my fasting, my believing, my everything else was trying to pay him back. My being good, everything was trying to pay him back. He don't want to be paid back. He didn't do it to be paid back. Amen. He did it because he loves you. One of the other things, I was standing praying and singing. I've got a song tonight. I'm not going to sing, and you're welcome. But we are going to play it here in just a minute. But I was standing looking out that window, and I was singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And he saw in my heart, he said, "Son, you love that song, don't you?" I said, "Yes, sir. I just love it. I love that song." He said, "What song's your church built on?" And I stopped and said, "Sir, what song's your church built on?" Because I was singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And then I immediately knew what it was. It's the song we teach our children and everybody else. Jesus loves me, this I know. Yeah. Amen. That's what our church is built on. Yes. See, there's not a whole lot of power in you loving Jesus. All the power's in Jesus loving you. You can ask Peter and John. They both stood with Jesus. Peter said, "Everybody else will fail you. I'll never fail you. I'll die for you. I'll give my life for you, everything else." When it came right down to it, the doors and Jesus was taken in, Peter didn't go. His love couldn't handle it. He wasn't strong enough. John went right on in. He said, "Well, why did John go in?" He shows us. If you read the book of John, he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. I always wondered why he was called that in the Bible, you know, until I found out it was because he wrote the book. That's why. He's the disciple whom Jesus loved. He got an understanding. Good things happen to people that know God loves them. Amen. So, I will spend the rest of my life telling people how much Jesus loves them, what he's done for them. Just a few years ago, I've been blessed to be able to travel in the cowboy community, got good friends that are world champions in different events, and we've known and traveled and done ministry things for them for years. And just a few years ago, in this mode of telling people how much Jesus loves them, I taught that message on Jesus and how much God loves us. And when I got through, the guy who was running the thing stood up and just took the microphone from me. And again, I love him. He's a dear brother. But he looked and he told the people, he said, "Well, it's nice for every once in a while somebody to tell us how much God loves us. Now let's get back into the Word." And I knew right then I was no longer in my camp. That was not my camp. Because you see, I spent too many years of my life learning the system and missing my Savior. Learned how to operate in faith. Learned how to use my faith. Learned how to confess. Learned how to do everything else. But I didn't spend a lot of time with my Savior. My son told me that tonight. He's preaching for me tonight. We have service on Saturday night. And I said, "What are you preaching about?" He talked about, he's preaching about righteousness. That's pretty much what he preaches all the time. And he said, "You know, we just got to get people to understand that a relationship without fellowship doesn't make a strong relationship." And he said, God has so many children that don't have a fellowship with him, and therefore they don't have a relationship to know how much he loves them. So, I have a song, and you're going to recognize it. It's an old song. I'd like for you to just worship with me. Then I'm going to, pardon me, talk about 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and it will stop. Go ahead. Would you stand with me? That's number 6. Again, you'll recognize it. Just, if you will, just close your eyes and worship and enjoy it. These guys are having to operate off of a CD that's a hand done. Go ahead, brother.
I thought that number one would surely be me, and I thought I could be what I wanted to be, and I thought that I could be all I've sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. See, I thought I had done a lot of could make it through this world all alone, and I thought of myself as a mighty, mighty, mighty big man, but you know I can't even walk, no, I can't even walk without you holding.
Stop it there, brother. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Oh, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. You know, I was privileged not long ago to do two graduation things at the Kettle Mills for the high school, one for the FFA banquet, which is a favorite one, but it's a school activity. And so I got to tell those young people that they were created to succeed. I got to tell them how they were going to overcome. I got to tell them that they were going to be winners in life, and I got to tell them how they were going to succeed, but I couldn't tell them why, because it was in school, and that wasn't... Well, then 2 weeks later, they had the baccalaureate service at our church, and I got to preach it, and I got to tell them why, and His name is Jesus. It's all Him. It's, you know, if we could get people, guys, to understand, it's all for us, but it's all about Him. Listen to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. How many years, how many times have we looked and studied and gained and did this to get the power of God, when the one plain scripture sits right there at our face and says, here, let me show you where the power of God is. It's the good news about Jesus. You don't need anything else. It's all encompassed in that. But when you find out about Jesus, if what you're doing isn't in what Jesus has done, you're wasting your time. Amen? But what He's done it all. That's why when He on the cross, when He hung His head and said, it is finished, it didn't mean redemption is good, now y'all take over here and do it the rest of the way. No. No, He did it all. He did it all. And it's all Him. That's why not long ago we were blessed to be in Nicaragua, right? And I was preaching and I was talking about this, success in Christ Jesus, or qualified, and I'll get there very quickly. And I would say Jesus, and my interpreter would always say, Jesucristo. And I caught it just about the third time in, and I stopped and I said, look, I'm saying Jesus, and you're saying Jesus the Christ. He said, well, yeah. I said, no, I don't want you to say the Christ. I want you to say Jesus. He said, oh, but we have a lot of, he said, you understand that's the word Jesus. We have a lot of Jesus there. I said, yeah, but we're not talking about any of them but Jesus. That's right. Come on. So you don't have to say Jesus the Christ, okay? Because you can't have a relationship. You can't have a relationship with a position. Christ is a position. You have a relationship with Jesus. You have a relationship with man. Amen. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and tongue confess. So if we get people to understand the heart of Jesus, and you'll get them to understand the heart of God. So, anyway, I'm not going to get... We're going to talk about being qualified. Galatians chapter 4, please. Now, I know that I say things very quickly and very abruptly, and I don't mean to because I love every one of you, but I'll just say things, and please don't let it offend you. I'm using the New Living Translation because I finally found a translation I can understand. I have memorized so many thousands of verses in the King James and did not have a clue what they meant. And I found translations that you'd think now I'm a Greek scholar, because I even started studying what the word meant in Greek. Because I found out in my King James Bible and in every other Bible that we have, there are mistakes. There are words that people just didn't have the guts to translate. God is too good for man's understanding for Him to be bold enough to tell you what God has really done for you. Amen? That's like the word, you know, I know you know this, but Brother Michael was talking about the word tithe. It's made up of four Hebrew letters and in Greek letters, but it's the word maser. And if you remove the first letter, the ma, okay, which makes the word tithe, if you remove the ma, it's the word aser. Aser means rich. God puts your rich in the tithe. Amen. You don't tithe to get rich. You tithe because you are rich. You tithe. We do everything because what Jesus has done, not to try to get Him to do something. Because if He hadn't already done it, you can't talk Him into it. Amen. Ain't no sense in it. Anyway, where did I tell you to go? Galatians chapter 4, verse. Well, I get out of Zechariah. I find Galatians. Galatians 4 and 1. Now again, this you probably got a King James, Message Translation, I like the Ben Campbell Johnson translation. It's fun to look at that too. But this one says, this is what the New Living Translation. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it is with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of the world. But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the what? Law. Not slaves to sin, slaves to the law. Slaves to the law. So that He could adopt us as His very own children. And because we are His children, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Amen. Now, let me just stop right there. I know you know what Abba means, but if you'll understand, that's what Jewish children call their daddies. If you were going to a Jewish school, you'd hear the little kids, okay, when their daddies come to pick them up, call them Abba, 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 Abba. It means daddy. And if you study that word out, the word Abba is a vocation. It's not an avocation. Avocation is what you do for vacation or what you do for fun. Vocation is what you do for a living. And God named Himself Abba. What's His job? Daddy. Daddy. I had the greatest natural daddy in the world. I try to be the greatest daddy in the world, but I can't even compare to my daddy God. Amen. That's why I'm telling people right now, we have spent our entire life afraid of the one that loves us the most. Because we thought He's going to get us for that. Listen, if He's going to get you, you'd already be God. Amen. The reason He ain't got you is because of Jesus. All that stuff that you deserve, that's why we operate in mercy and grace every day of our life. Mercy means you don't get what you deserve. Grace means you get what you don't deserve. So when you got those two on your side, you got it made. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Him. Because He loves you. For God so loved the world. Now listen, we know John 3:16. We forget John 3:17. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believed in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. You could confuse me by that because I thought that's what the church always said. You better do this or God's going to get you for that. God's not answering your prayer because of this. God, all this stuff, when it plainly, as our friend Leroy, anybody know Leroy Thompson? Leroy would always say, he'd read the scripture, he'd say, you don't like that, tear it out. Most people would tear out John 3:17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's the God that we serve. Let me tell you that's why you're qualified. That's why your prayers will get answered. See, we've taught the church, let me just jump ahead and go quickly. We've taught the church they weren't receiving from God because there was sin in their life. Sin has never stopped God. Never stop God. I'll show you in just a minute. If sin stopped God, we'd never have anything. No, Jesus couldn't have come. Nothing could have taken place if sin stops God from moving. How many of you ever grew up in Pentecostal church? Oh, bless your darling heart. Anyway, Lord, we had so many rules and stuff. I mean, how many times? Listen to this. And just don't raise your hand after this because you just embarrass yourself because I'm embarrassed about it too. How many times would the Spirit of God be moving in a service and some kid make a noise or something happened back there and all of a sudden everything, and the minister said, well, folk, you know, we grieved the Spirit of God. We weren't quiet enough. We didn't pray enough. We didn't talk in tongues long enough. We grieved the Spirit of God. We heard that all of our life. How sissy is the Holy Spirit that some little kid making a noise with a toy runs him off? Why did He quit moving? Because we expected Him to quit moving. We thought we had to be perfect. We thought it was all on us that God, we didn't know God put it all on Jesus. See, the only thing that qualifies you to, I'm going to mess with your songs here in a minute. I love that song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. I was never singing it honestly in my life. And I've been singing it for all these years. And I would say, like everybody else, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But what I should have been saying, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus and me doing everything right. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus and me praying enough. Come on, I'm messing with you now, aren't I? Right? Because we didn't believe in the blood, we believed in our effort. Let me just settle it for you. Not one time in your life, not one time in your Christian life have you ever received anything from God because you did enough to earn it. Not one time. If you did, then that thing there is a lie and it's not. It's all by the blood. It's by what Jesus has done, not what you and I do. If you start putting, see, the word says, do you realize the word says that the law is not made for the righteous man? You could have fooled me because I thought that's what we live by for every day of our life. Because I lived in fear of it. Because if I didn't keep it, God was going to curse me. I could live in the blessing as long as I did everything right. And God would not answer my prayer that I couldn't have faith or anything else if I wasn't just perfect, which was ridiculous because I'd never been perfect in my life. I mean, if you ask me, and I got honest, no. Come on now. But see, we thought it was by our effort. No, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Why? Because what... what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, was there anything wrong with the law? No, it's perfect. It's God. That's why when those Jewish people got out and Mount Sinai, and if you study the Greek and the Hebrew and see what he said, they got to the point. God said this in Exodus, it was Exodus 15. He said, look, y'all just follow me. Just do what I tell you to do and we'll go. And they said, no. What God says we are well able to do. Give us the law. So he gave them the law. First Pentecost, it was 50 days out of Egypt. First Pentecost, okay? Guess what happened? Well, the first miracle took place that I've ever seen out in the wilderness. And if you don't have time to read it now, but you read it, and it will amaze you. You have probably not seen this miracle, Brother Mike. You might not even have seen this one. When we know, here's what happened on the first Pentecost. 3,000 people died. Right? Came down, before he even gets down from the mountain, they've already broke the first commandment and the second. Right? Have no other gods for me, not making me any graven image, okay? All right, so boom, 3,000 people died on the first Pentecost. First Pentecost after Jesus was born again, 3,000 people born again, right? Big difference, all the difference in the world. But the miracle you probably hadn't seen, y'all get time you read this. Moses comes down, he said, Aaron, what have you done? Aaron, how did they convince you? And Aaron said, Moses, let me tell you. The people just brought their gold, and I threw it in the fire, and out came a calf. That's what he says. That's exactly what he said. I said, I have missed that miracle my whole life. I missed it. Just did. He just jumped out there. No, he lied, just like some of the rest of us have. No. All right, let me get back away from what I was doing. The law, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his son. Now, think about that. Now, let me see if this balances with you real good. Deuteronomy 28. We know Deuteronomy 28, right? First 15 verses, blessing. When you get past that 15, things go downhill in a hurry. Okay. Then we go into curses, and what is it, 47 verses or something like that? Curse after curse after curse after curse. What? If you don't totally obey the commandments of the Lord your God, all these curses will come on you. So if you did what God said, you got blessed. If you did not what he said, if you messed up, if you made a mistake, you got the curse. Except for Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made the curse for us. Because it's written, cursed everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might have the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, tell me if I'm saying this right. If you did everything that God said, you got blessed. Now, what it said? Now, according to Galatians 3:13, now if I miss it, if I make a mistake, if I don't do everything right, I get the Jesus. I get the Jesus because he became the curse. Why will you, when you're perfect and you pray and you get your answer, that is so good. Why can you still pray when you make a mistake and when you mess up when you hadn't been perfect? Why? Because you just get Jesus. You don't get the curse, you get Jesus. Why? God made this way too good. It's better than people. Do you realize that's why it says it passes understanding? The love of God doesn't make sense. It is nonsense. It makes no sense. Why? Because our love is based on performance. For so long, we'll be loving. Because after a while now, boy, you got to start earning your way now. You got to start doing what you're supposed to do. You got to start doing something, da, da, da. That's natural love. But God's love passes understanding. Why? Because he doesn't have love, he is love. See? So when you pray, you are qualified to receive for one thing, by believing. Why? Because it's on the basis of the blood and nothing else. And I know you've heard this account, and I've heard it many times, but it just blesses me. Let me quickly tell you, and then I'm going to wind this thing down quickly. When the death angel passed over in Egypt, and they were required to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, if you took two families who, let's say the father was the firstborn and he had a son in there that was the firstborn, and you took two different households, both of them had the blood over the, and you have this one household where this young boy says, Daddy, did you put the blood on the post like Moses said? Yes, son, I sure did. Daddy, are we okay? Are we going to be all right? Son, I sure hope we are. I mean, we did what Moses said to do, but I don't know. Maybe we better, let's do some other stuff. Let's pray. Let's read. Let's confess. Let's just stay up all night long. Let's just tarry all night long. Over here you got this other family. Daddy, did you put the blood? Yes, I did, son. Daddy, you gonna be all right? Yes, we are, son, because the blood's gonna deliver us. Let's just spend the night just thanking God and rejoicing. Next morning, which one of them saved? Both of them. One of them wasted the night worried and crying and fretting and everything else and trying to do every religious thing they could find to please God. And the other one stood rejoicing all night long because it was nothing but the blood that delivered them. When you start depending on the blood, it starts taking you toward God instead of toward the system. Don't get me wrong about God's system. He does have it. I mean, we understand how to operate by faith. Man, that's what we've taught forever. And I will, in the love of Jesus, I'll teach it from now on. But never. See, the blood only gets applied one time. Say, not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven that to bring Christ down? We've used terms like, oh, we got to reapply the blood, brother. No, I'm sorry. Where are you going to get another sacrifice like Jesus? No, you don't reapply the blood. You use the washing of water by the word to keep yourself clean. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. It always has, always will. That's it. Why are you qualified? Why can you pray and receive? Because of the blood of Jesus. Now, therefore we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, I can't come boldly to the throne of grace. You don't know what I've done. There ain't nothing you've done Jesus hadn't paid for. You say, oh, preacher, you're just talking about like we just do anything we want to and go to God. No, listen to me. If this guy on the inside isn't wanting to go toward God, then you're not born again. And we need to help you. Okay? Now, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, I got this thing figured out. I figured out. When I sin, it's not me. It's this flesh guy. Because this guy in here don't want to sin. This guy here wants to go toward God just hard as he can go every minute of the day. But you're housed in flesh. And I know some of you got y'all's flesh all controlled. You're perfect. I ain't got there yet, okay? But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. See, here's the deal. That song, come here, Rance, I'll use you. And I know you've seen this. That song that we sang said, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Okay, now, I'm going to be God. All right, and you do understand this. Religion is man reaching up to God. Christianity is God reaching down to man. Totally different. We need to get rid of religion, stay with Christianity. All right? Now, if I'm God and he's my child, all right, and he can't even walk without me holding his hand, if he grabs a hold of my hand and I'm gone and he's slow or he's weak or he can't keep up with me, then I'm gone and he's lost. He can't achieve. He can't win. He can't do it. I mean, God's God. Come on now. When you're in flesh in your house, but here's the key. We're not holding his hand. He's holding our hand. See, when he's got your hand, you're all right. Where he goes, you go. Why? Because you can't break the hold of God. Our flesh is weak. We don't have the strength. But he's holding our hand. Amen? Yeah, amen. Thanks, brother. Listen, I mean, that's... You got to know. I mean, I can do this in tongues. You got to know how much he loves you. Why did he send Jesus? Because he loves you that much. And he did not send Jesus to give you a new start. You didn't get a new start. Well, brother, I've forgiven your sins now. You go and do better. Without him, you ain't got shot. Think about this. I want you to know, Michael, I have been so embarrassed. I have preached this for 30 years. And it's right there in the Bible, and I missed it. And if I hadn't missed it, I'd try to explain it away anyway because I didn't understand it. God brought his son to Jesus' disciples to be healed. They couldn't do it. So he came to Jesus. He said, Lord, look, this is my son. He's devil, blah, 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 says, throws him in the fire, da, 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 da. If you can do anything about our situation, please do it. Jesus said, Jesus said, if I can, that's exactly what he said. When you look at the original, he just said, if I can, there was no doubt. But he said this, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. How many times, guys, have we preached that? All things are possible to him that believes. You just got to believe, brother. You got to believe more. Stuff ain't going right in your life. You got to believe more. Come on now. I may tell you what to do. If you go on a 3-day fast, you'll be believing more. I tell you what, if you'll just send me that $1,000, you'll be, come on now. Come on. All right? The guy said, he looked at Jesus and said, Lord, I believe. Lord, would you help my unbelief? And then he went home and his boy was sick and there was nothing Jesus could do because he didn't believe. And we all know that you have to believe because all things are possible to him that believes. We should have wrote it that way because that's the way we preached it. We stopped with, you got to believe, brother. If you're not going to believe, you're not going to receive. Come on, that's the whole deal of it right there. Jesus healed the boy. Why? Because he just got through telling the man, all things are possible to him that believes. The guy that believes it all is standing right in front of him. His name is Jesus. When you don't have it, he does. When you can't get it, he can. It's all about him. It's not about you. It's not about what you've done. It's about what he's done. It's not about who you are. It's about who he is. It's Jesus. It's him. We can't even walk without holding his hand. He's the one that leads, guides, and directs. He is it. I mean, it's... And you are the apple of his eye, the object of his affection. And everything you would ever do wrong, he has already paid the price for. And everything that you would ever do wrong does not disqualify you from receiving your prayer answered. I promise you. How do I know that? Because Jesus made a lot of people mad. In the Old Testament, God sent the prophet to a widow of Sarepta. In Sidon, right? He sent and healed a leper named Naaman, a Syrian soldier. Now, Jesus has the nerve, when I believe it's in Luke, he's talking to all the religious bunch, and he said, they liked him there for a while. It was all fun. And he was, listen to what he's saying. And then he said this, you know, there were many widows during those days, and God didn't send a prophet to any of them except the widow of Sarepta. And there were many lepers, but God didn't send any. It didn't heal any of them except Naaman. And everybody thought, why in the world did they get so mad? Because nobody ever told us why they got so mad. And that's when they wanted to throw him over the hill. What? Why was he just talking about this? These people were unqualified to receive from God. Why? They were not Jewish. They hadn't followed the laws. They hadn't obeyed. They hadn't done anything but just believe Jesus could do it. That God would do it. And he did it. God has never let anything stop him from doing everything in people's lives he wanted to do except them not believing. Another one came. Did you know that there's two in the New Testament, there's two people that are talked about having great faith? And I've preached this for years. One of them was the centurion servant. Why was his faith perfect? Well, I'll tell you right now. I don't know why it's perfect. He understood authority. Yes, amen. Come on, give me an amen. You've done it thousands of times. Yes, amen. He understood the authority of God. Amen, because he was a man under authority. That's why he had great faith. But the problem is the other person that had great faith that Jesus talked about was a homemaker. She didn't understand anything about authority as far as soldiers were concerned. What was the deal? Why did they both receive? They didn't have any religious junk to get out of the way. They didn't have any problems understanding whether they qualified or not. They said, the guy's healing. I want to be healed. I'm going to go to him. And they just simply believed. But we want to work the works of God. Another guy in the Bible asked that. Jesus, show us how to work the works of God. Jesus said, I'll tell you how to work the works of God. Believe on him whom God sent. Oh, no, it's got to be something more than that because I can do more than that. There's nothing else to do. Believe on him whom God sent. If you grew up in church, you got a lot of stuff to wade through when you start asking to get your prayer answered. Come on now. Lord, thou knowest. Well, first of all, get rid of that, okay? Kind of like I had a guy one time, I was doing a meeting with another guy in an open area, that whole town was out, and I just sitting there, me and this guy was talking just like this. I mean, he's as country as I was. I mean, we're just laughing and talking. He was one of the denominational ministers, and he was going to open the thing with prayer. And we just got through talking, we was laughing, Rance just, he stepped up there and said, would you bow and pray, please? We all did. He said, Almighty God. What did he say? And I realized he said, Almighty God. I thought, is that the same guy I just got through talking to? How come his voice changed? What's going on with this guy? See, let's just get real. Our God loves us. He gave Jesus for us. That is to qualify you. Unless you lose Jesus, you are qualified. No matter what's going on, whatever prayer, whatever desire, it is the idea of God for you to receive. Amen. And all you have to do is when you realize, when the devil says, you know you don't deserve that, don't you? You say, yes, sir, I sure do. Thank God it doesn't depend on me deserving anything. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Again, don't add that other line that I should have added in there. Nothing but the blood and me doing everything right. You don't. See, here's the deal that we hadn't got a hold of. When the law came in, What we did, Jesus said, you've let the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect, because the Pharisees took the law and watered it down to the point where they felt like they could live by it. And that's why Jesus messed everything up when he said, no, this adultery thing, it's not just if you have an affair, it's if you think about it. Oh, that'll mess with your law right there. Because it's hard to clean out. It's like confessing all your sins. You don't have time. Because every sin is a violation of the law. And the law is perfect. And you are not. But Jesus is. That's why there's nothing to do but run to Him every minute. I got to quit, guys. Let me get a sip of this right here. I love my Jesus. I am so qualified. I'm telling you, I told Brother Mike this the other night. My television program, we'll tape it, and it's 30 minutes at a time. And I'll sit and do 4 and 5 shows at a time, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And this is no, oh, well, isn't he being so humble? They ain't got nothing to do with this, okay? I'm telling you. In the last 4 years, I sit down to do that television program with nothing. Not one note, nothing. And I'll preach for 2.5 hours. And when I get through, I ask them what I preached. Because I don't have a clue. And again, that is no... do you understand? I am not talking about me. Please, don't think that I'm saying, oh, isn't he so holy? No, it's all Jesus. I mean, you can't be too up high and mighty when you think about Balaam's donkey. Right? I mean, he preached, so let's don't get carried away with ourselves. When you and I look unto Jesus, the author and the developer of our faith, do what? Okay, this is the last thing I'm going to tell you about, and then we're going to sing one more song. Look at this. Isn't that Hebrews 12, 1 and 2? Looking unto Jesus, the author, and it says finisher, but it's the word developer. Wait a minute. I thought we're supposed to build our faith. Building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying the Holy Ghost. You do that. But when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, what effort are you doing besides just letting your mouth move? Your spirit man is doing every bit of it. Where do you... Okay, I lied to you. I got to give you another scripture. Jesus said this. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. You know what that word words there is? It's the word rhema. Okay? Stay with me. The door's locked. You can't get out. This is not the word of life per se as it's on this paper. It's the word of life when it comes out of your heart. See, it could be the law. If you're just going to keep it as the law, you could memorize the whole thing. Wouldn't do you any good. See, we have a totally new covenant. We've jumped beyond the law all the way back to the covenant that he made with Abraham. So how do I know that? Okay, almost last for sure scripture. I did not know that Galatians 3:17 said what it said until 4 years ago. And I promise you, I've read it hundreds of times. I did not know what it said. And some of you are looking at me. Let me just tell you what it says. It says about the promise that God made to Abraham. It said the law, which came 430 years later, cannot disannul that law, that covenant. What was that covenant? Righteousness by faith. Nothing else. Not by works. Not by your perfect obedience. Not anything else. Righteousness by faith. And he said the law coming in cannot replace that one. That's why we are, by faith, we are called the children of Abraham, not the children of Moses. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's why it's written on your heart. That's why you can go to God. That's why faith will come. Not from you studying, not from you earning, not from you fast. Oh, if I just fast long enough, my faith will grow. No, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But you've got to get hold of those words. Faith cometh by the report, is what the Greek says, and the report comes by the rhema. What is the rhema? The word about Jesus. It goes back to Romans 1 and 16. I'm not ashamed of the good news about Jesus Christ. That's where the power of God is. That's what qualifies you. So when you find out what Jesus has done for you, that qualifies you. That's why you don't have to stand in your own qualification. That's when you have messed up, when you feel like you have not done it and you cannot do it, when you have worked on your faith and worked on your faith and it still doesn't feel like where it is, let me tell you who's got the faith that you need. His name is Jesus. And look, you don't have any faith of your own anyway. We call it our faith. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's his faith. Don't ever say, I don't have enough faith. Why? You've been given every man the measure of faith. Christ didn't use the hope of glory. It's connecting this understanding. That's what this man is such a wonderful faith teacher. He's connecting your understanding with what that guy already believes inside. Because you already believe it all, whether you know it or not. You have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. It's just connecting this understanding. We're in to agree. When you get this guy to agree with this guy, it's a done deal. That's what we're understanding. That's the whole key to faith. You are not lacking in anything. How can you lack when Jesus is in you? So, and this is for sure I'm quitting because we're going to sing. You got to hear this song. And some of you may know it, but I'm telling you this. If you've been dealing with sickness and disease, poverty, mental problems, if you've been dealing, oh, dear Jesus, like I did for all my life, religious problems. What is my religious problem? I never thought I was good enough. Yes, Jesus died for me. I know he loves me in sweet by and by, but I'm just pretty much a rascal right now. Because I can't. Cause you think, well, you were doing horrible things. No, but to me it was. I mean, I could go for an hour without thinking about Jesus, and I felt guilty forever. Yeah, come on. And I'd spend all my time repenting. Mm-hmm. You know, if they'd have just told me in church what the word repent means, we always thought it mean feel bad with strong squalling and bawling. The word repent means change your mind. Just change your mind. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses you from all sin. Just change your mind. Start walking in the goodness of God because you are qualified. Nobody can make you unqualified to receive from God. Sin has never stopped God. If we did, we've got to take that scripture out that says where sin doth abound. Grace has got so much problems. No, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. Never think anything the devil has would ever measure up to what God has. That's where we missed it. Oh, I know, Brother God, just not talking to me. He is too. You. Well, the Lord's upset with me. No, he's not. He can't be. Even the Old Testament tells you that. This is as the waters of Noah unto me. As I have sworn that I will not destroy the earth with water again, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with you nor rebuke you. You know what? In that Old Testament, you know why David is a man after God's own heart? It wasn't because he is quick to repent. David was supposed to be dead. He killed another man to get his wife. It's the law. He's supposed to die. But David had this wonderful thing that God just loved. Through the judgment, David would reach in and grab the grace of God. And he'd live by it and he'd receive it. David was a New Testament heart. I mean, that's the way he was. He just, you know, because that's the God that we serve. It's how much he loves you. He's not holding your sins against you. Okay, one more lie. Last scripture right here. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. In the New Living Translation, and I'm going to read it to you. I told you, that's why I got another Bible, because I didn't understand that stuff. I'm sorry, y'all. I mean, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I know that. 2 Corinthians 5. Let me read it to you in this 17-21. And it's talking about God, what God gave to us. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task. Are you ready for the task? What God's called us to do. Amen. You ready? Amen. God, this is the task. Evangelize the world. Yeah, but the task of reconciling people to him. Yeah. Oh, yes, brother, we've been telling them forever they need to quit that stuff. Yeah, that's why they're not coming. They know they need to quit quitting stuff, but how can fish not swim? Sinners got to sin. That's just the way it is, okay? Okay. If you get them to quit sinning, you just got a cleaned up sinner. So you'll be more comfortable around them. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good now. Yeah, we like to be, well, they, you know, they don't cuss around me anymore. They just do it when they go home. Well, they don't drink around me. They don't take that dope around me, you know, because they respect me. Whoop-de-doo, they're still dying. It's not about how they treat us. Okay. Anyway. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. No longer counting people's sins against them. And he has given us this wonderful message of reconciliation. What? So we are Christ ambassadors, God making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come to God or come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the sin offering for our sin, that we could be made right with God through Christ. When are people going to start coming to Jesus? When you start saying, man, God's not holding your sins against you. Oh, I know, Brother Butch, I need to quit doing it. That isn't what I said, man. I said God's already forgiven you of those sins. Oh, no. Yeah, he has to. All you got to do is receive it.
Yeah. Amen.
That's it. All you got to do is receive it. It's already a done deal. Yeah, that's right. Well, you think God will forgive me? He already has. When did he do that? When he hung them all on Jesus. Every bit of judgment was on Jesus. Do you realize that scripture? And I'll never quit using it this way. I always use it. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. That's what it said. The word men is not there. We added, that was added. The verse before it talks about the judgment of God. What did Jesus say? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all the judgment to me. Every bit of the judgment for every sin you'd ever commit, the world would ever commit, he took it on himself. You know about Old Testament? The guy said, fill the water, you know, put the stones in. The prophets of Baal, we're going to kill them all. They call for fire out of heaven. Let the God that answers by fire. When God answered by fire, the judgment of God came down. He burned up the sacrifice. He burned up the stones that were in there, the 12 stones. He burned up the water. He burned up the wood. He burned up everything. The judgment of God consumed the sacrifice on the cross. Jesus took every bit of God's judgment, consumed it all, and lived. Yeah. The sacrifice consumed the judgment. That's why he's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's why God will never judge you. That's what he says. He said when he comes back, he's not coming back concerning sin. Why? He gave Jesus for that. You are qualified. Don't you dare let the devil tell you you can't receive. God's not going to answer your prayer. He gave the blood for you to answer your prayer. Amen? But you cannot do it on your own. You can't. Look here, I'm acting like I'm quitting right here. Your God loves you. He knows everything about you and he still loves you. He knows what you're going to do wrong tomorrow, and he still loves you. He's still forgiven you for it. You don't have to spend the next 3 years trying to get him to forgive you. All you got to do is, now, when you start to say, oh, God, I'm so sorry, just say, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. What's the difference? One says, I made a mistake. The other said, you did it right. Thank you, Jesus. You are the answer. You're my everything. When you get ready to receive, don't let anything stop you. The devil says, well, you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving neighbor as yourself. You say, no, but Jesus does, and I'm in him. Amen. Right? He raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yeah, this guy on the inside, he loves God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Flesh man, he ain't got there yet, probably never will. He's not the one that's going to heaven. He's going to be glorified. The guy on the inside, you are qualified. I'm out of time. Listen to this song. You've probably heard it so many times, but I will end this and Brother Mike can come. Play that number 5, brother. I love this song. It grabbed my heart because I realize I can't do nothing without him. But in him, I can do it all. I can come out of my mess. I can quit being so hard on myself. Come on. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The King James says, for those who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That was added. It's not there. It just simply says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? because the law of the Spirit of life that's in Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Listen, Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. That's the difference right there. You can't be good enough. That's why Jesus said, who you calling good? There's none good but God. If Jesus didn't put him in the good category, then it was just me and you try. Why? It's not about being good. It's about being born again. It's about being a child of God. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts. That's not the word evil. It means full of toil, full of labor, having to go to the job every day, all this other stuff. He said, if you having to deal with all that, still want to give good gifts to your kids, how much more your Heavenly Father wants to give good things. Amen. I'm sorry, brother. Play it. I'll quit when you play.
The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Oh, at the gate called Beautiful, they're laid out in the street. A poor and lonely beggar who was crippled in his feet. As John and Peter passed him, they saw his need was bad. They had no gold or silver, but they gave him what they had. Get up, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Seems discouraged and overcome with fear. Well, God is needing soldiers to get out of the pews and take a hold of the power that John and Peter used. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here.
I'm thankful that Peter and John didn't say, well, hey, you know, we just came off a fast. Yeah, we've been praying all day long for you, brother. We got the power. Get up. No, they said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise. It doesn't matter what I've done. It's about what he's done. When you start looking to Jesus, the author and developer of your faith, that's when the power starts coming. And then guess what? Nobody gets the credit but him. Amen.